You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers with MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition. As always, we'll be joined by Adam McKelvey, Brewers beat writer for MLB.com. And we're talking about one of the most schizophrenic franchises in Major League Baseball for 2014. Adam, I know you know it as well as anybody, but let me give you some numbers that I think really illustrate it. That the high point of 51-32 start at 6-14 baseball, they were on pace to win 99 games. After that, between that and when they were eliminated from the wild card race, a stretch of 29-45, that's 392 baseball. And if you play that out, that's a team that loses 99 games. So the biggest, you know, when you look at that, what was the biggest difference? What was the biggest change first half to the second half?
Well, it's unfair to blame it on any one facet, first of all. This is a team-wide collapse, and every area shares blame. But the numbers that stand out to me as I was looking at it the other day are the offense. This went from the second-best offensive team in the National League, the best offense below 5,000 feet, I like to say, in the National League, to the third-worst scoring offense in the second half. And I'm not talking about post-All-Star break. I'm giving them the start of July as well. So for 3 months, they were second best. They scored a bunch of runs. They were second in homers, second in slugging, OPS, all the categories. And it fell off a cliff. And figuring out why is going to be the big task for Doug Melvin and his staff this offseason, because they did not suffer a debilitating injury. You know, the Reds lost Joey Votto, for example. You can hang your hat on that to some degree. The Brewers had guys go on the DL, but not for extended periods. Yet the offense completely collapsed. So they've got a lot to figure out. And like I say, we can't blame it solely on the hitters, because when they went in their 3-16 stretch that really ruined the Brewers' season, the starting pitching was terrible too. And they were playing from behind every day. And that makes it really hard on an offensive club. But, again, you look at the larger picture, and this is a club that swings a lot. They swing early. And early in the season that worked for them, down the stretch that did not work. And Ron Arnicki is talking a little bit about, you know, maybe they need to drive in a different philosophy with some guys for next season. You can't completely change a hitter, but you can ask them to be a little bit better in some areas, and I think that's what they're going to have to do.
Well, when you talk about a team that fell off, and you can say, and I think it's fair, you know, who picked the Brewers to win when we were in Arizona and Florida in spring training? They weren't a front runner with many, many people. But on the other hand, they did make that late signing for Matt Garza, pushed the payroll up above $100 million for the first time in franchise history. And, you know, to have it unravel like this, how much fallout do you think there will be from this collapse? And at the ownership level down, I mean, do you see this as a thing that could cost some people in the organization jobs?
Yeah, I do. It's very hard to tell. This is a team with a very aggressive owner. 2008, they fired Ned Yost with 12 games to go, and a team that ended up winning the wild card and making the postseason for the first time in 26 years had an interim manager. So I think that experience has made us believe in Milwaukee that you never know exactly what the fallout is going to be. You know, sometimes that can be unfair. Coaches take the fall for players' struggles. You know, it's Ron Reneke and Johnny Nairn, their hitting coach. I don't think their batting averages were a problem in the second half, but sometimes, you have to show the fans that there's accountability. So that is something we're kind of keeping an eye on here. Now I'll say this about Ron Reneke. I think that he is a good fit for the personnel that they have on this team. He's one of those guys that kind of lets the players play. He's not a manager that's going to criticize the players. He's the anti-Bobby Valentine. I think it suits the players in that clubhouse well. That's just my view from the outside. Now, others who have a more inside view might look at that differently. But I don't think that – if I'm looking at it from a logical perspective, I can't point at different things and say this was Ron Reneke's fault, that was Ron Reneke's fault. I see the logic in his bullpen moves. So would it be a little unfair if he's a fall guy? I mean, I think you can build that argument.
Yeah, and no question. I think that's often the case with managers. Really hard to evaluate unless you get the extremely good or the extremely not so good. And really, most guys fall into the gray area. And you judge a guy off of his day-to-day presence. And I mean, certainly Ron Renicki. I mean, to me, very much cut from that Mike Socia Angels cloth. And you look at the Angels and you see the stability that they have had, and now they're rolling back and on an up cycle again, coming off a really bad cycle themselves. But looking beyond the management personnel, looking at the upcoming off season, it seems like there's some player decisions to be made. I don't know if they're obvious or not. Aramis Ramirez has this $14 million mutual option, and I think the expectation is will hit the free agent market and turn down his own end of it. Is that how you think that'll play out, Adam?
I think that's probably the most likely. You know, this came up a couple of weeks ago, and Doug Melvin made clear they haven't even talked about that yet. They were focused on trying to make the postseason. But I think it is likely that the Brewers will exercise that. They don't have an obvious guy in the system that they could plug in there. They would have to go out and get somebody. And, you know, then if Aramis Ramirez declines, the Brewers would be off the hook for, I think it's a $4 million buyout. And then they could address third base otherwise, including potentially signing him to a multi-year deal, because he's going to be one of the best two or three free agent third basemen out there, even at 36. And I don't blame him for wanting to potentially explore whether he can get a multi-year deal. So I think he is definitely in play for this team. And the other place is first base. This will be the second straight season the Brewers are last in the National League in OPS from first base. They have just been unable to fill that position since Prince Fielder left. And that's another spot where, well, they have a couple of players. They don't have an obvious guy to step in there. They thought it was going to be a prospect, Hunter Morris. He's had two straight years of kind of spinning his wheels. He missed time this year with a broken arm. They have Matt Clark, who was a September call-up and has been pretty impressive for this team. He's bounced around from the Padres to the Mets and then signed with the Brewers when Morris was hurt. He's right now internally the most likely guy to play first base for the Brewers next year. But I think that, you know, there'd be big question marks on what exactly he would be if he would be an everyday big leaguer. So those two corner infield spots are the big questions. If you look elsewhere around that Brewers diamond, this team's coming back. And they're solid up the middle. Doug Melvin likes to point out that they have young, controllable, really good players at catcher, center field, second base with Scooter Jeanette, and they'll hope for a bounce back from their shortstop, Gene Segura. They think he's a way better hitter than he showed this year. And with those positions filled, I think the franchise feels okay about being able to make a couple additions. Their starting pitching is all back. And being a pretty good team again next year. And maybe, as you said, Phil, I don't know how many people had the Brewers leading the NL Central for 150 days this season. I think maybe next season people were more intrigued by them. With Chris Davis, the left fielder, having a year under his belt, with Scooter Jeanette having a full year under his belt. Now you kind of have a little more experience around their other core guys. And maybe next year was going to be their year all along. They just happened to surprise really early and put themselves in this position to see it all slip away in the second half.
Hey, one other guy I want to ask you about, Ricky Weeks, there's an option in his contract. I think, clearly with Scooter Jeanette playing the way he has, Ricky Weeks' health on and off the last few years, it seems like a foregone conclusion that the end of this year is going to be the end of Ricky Weeks' long run with the Brewers. When you look at his legacy, what really stands out to you?
Injuries. And he never lived up to the expectations that the fans and people in Milwaukee had for him. I don't think he gets enough credit for being a solid player. He's on a list of a dozen players to get 1,000 hits for the Brewers, and when you look at the list, it's a pretty good list. So he is a better player, I think, than people give him credit for, but he is a lesser player than the people here were hoping he was going to end up being as a second overall pick in the draft. And a lot of that is injuries. Hand injuries early in his career really hurt him. The other thing that hurt him is, a little bit of stubbornness in terms of what he did at the plate. He's got that bat waggle for a long time. A lot of different Brewers coaches talked to him about adjusting that. in order to be a better hitter, more consistent major league hitter. He was not willing or able to do that, and you wonder whether it hurt him. So it's a mixed legacy, but again, I think the way I'll remember him is a really good player for this team for, in the context of today's game, a really long time, and I wish more people would think of him that way.
Yeah, he was always very popular with those fantasy league drafts. I know everybody, every year, you'd keep expecting a big season from Ricky Weeks, and he getting on the field to fulfill it, always a problem. But, Adam, never a problem for you to get out here for the MLB.com Extras podcast. We appreciate it. For Adam McKelvey, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.